Well, here we are, our second overtime stream for Off the Hook. I'm here, Kyle. Are you there?
I think I'm here.
Okay, yeah, there you are.
You're loud and clear over on this end.
Am I? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, sitting 2 feet away from each other, but that's
fine. I just want you to know that I can hear that.
Okay, good, good. That's good news. I see Rob. I see Gila. Yeah, we can
Hello.
See each other.
Hello.
You can't see us, folks. That's by choice. I'm sorry. I know we're not using YouTube for the purpose in which it's intended. We're using it for audio. We don't do things the way you're supposed to do them. Alex, where the hell is Alex? This is why we need to be able to see each other. We can see that he's not there. 8 o'clock, that's when he's supposed to be back.
I think he took a break or had to attend to something and was going to be back momentarily.
Okay,
that was last
well,
I heard.
Mm-hmm.
I was attending to some things as well.
Yeah. You guys want to update us on the weather? And we'll get the phone number out again. 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. And one call at a time can get through. So if somebody else calls, again, Google. We can't get a busy signal from Google. We're forwarding the line to a single line. It doesn't have call waiting, but you're going to get voicemail if you don't get through. That's just the way it is. So if that happens, just call back when the other call is assuming there is a call in the first place, when that call is finished. So, Rob, Gila, how are things in Queens weather-wise?
I would actually like to repeat my favorite radio weather forecast I ever heard in my life, which someone gave on my summer camp radio station, looked out the window and said, "It's dark."
Good. Okay. All right. But as far as the raging blizzard, though, how is that going?
I'm going to go look out the window.
Why not? Yeah.
We're sending her over to the window for a live weather update. But yes, to build on her earlier report, it is dark, but according to the forecast, is going to be followed by light in after a certain length of time.
Wow!
I'm so happy we're doing this. This is really adding to my evening, folks. You know, you have to call for us to continue doing this, though. And if we don't get phone calls, we just won't do it anymore. I know people are shy, but getting the first phone call is always hard. We're only doing this for about 10 minutes or so. 802-321-4225. We tested it. We know it works. Welcome back, Alex. Glad you could join us. We're on the damn YouTube right now. Like we said, we were going to.
I'm here. You know what? Like just when I watched it, I thought it was exactly 8 o'clock that I came back down. I had to go up and get a cup of tea.
It's 8:03.
Yeah, there we are.
All right.
Yep.
How is the blizzard in Pennsylvania?
It's pretty bad. I looked out the window. In fact, I'll take another look right now. But we must have at least 4 or 5 inches.
I don't care anymore, Alex, because we have a phone call. And good evening, caller. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Where are you calling from?
Can you hear me?
Yes, we hear you fine.
Hi.
Can you tell us where you're calling from?
Massachusetts.
Okay. Is it snowing in Massachusetts?
Let me check.
Nobody seems to be looking out their windows. Well, I guess that's a good thing in a pandemic.
Yeah, I actually don't have a window that I can look out right now.
What are you, in a basement?
No, just all my... It's...
Well, we don't need to get into the situation you're in.
It's a personal choice.
So,
this is a hacker show. We respect if people don't want to use Windows.
Yeah, that's true. So what's on your mind, caller?
My name's CJ, by the way.
CJ, how you doing?
Good. I've been researching a website that has had some issues, along with token that does not expire and can be used to access your account.
Oh, nice.
Yep. So on the bright side, you cannot access their purchasing information or make any purchases on their behalf with that information.
Okay,
so
but...
You can watch all the shows you want with it.
Really? Interesting. So you told us what kind of a system it is, I guess.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a streaming platform, and I've reported it to them.
And any response?
Not yet.
Okay.
It could have been a worse thing, because with it, you can't actually get their... Though the problem is, you can actually... That token lasts even if you change your password.
That's true. That's how tokens can work. What would you suggest they do to fix this?
They shorter-lived tokens and basically like OAuth revocation every so often.
Mm-hmm.
What part of the system?
Just re-roll the tokens.
What part of the system is it? Is it for login. Like account creation and that kind of thing?
It's for login. If you get the person's token,
right,
you can then use that to log in again under their name without their password. You just need the token.
So when did you discover this? When did you notify them?
I discovered this a few days ago, but it's also known information. Like, there's a GitHub repo that actually mentions it.
And they still haven't fixed it?
Nope. This site has been so bad for a long time. Like, a long time ago, you used to be able to tell their mobile API that you were a paying customer and it would just accept it.
Wow. Well, in your opinion, at what point do you go more public with something like this?
If they don't fix it in, like, 6 months.
That's a pretty healthy amount of time, so you're more generous than I would be.
Yeah.
Okay.
I also broke the DRM on digital talking books from the National Library Service.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, wow. that's pretty awesome.
It involved a talking book player, a steady hand, and a serial cable.
Nice.
UART cable. So an FTDI chip.
CJ, would you write an article for us about that? That sounds awesome and very inspirational to a lot of people.
Yeah, I actually still need to do that. The moral of the story, don't dynamically link to OpenSSL.
Duly noted.
Write that down.
Yeah, this is an ARM-embedded device. So I actually contacted the company, asked them to give me their open source bits. So, like, their OpenSSL, and they gave me their build root. And then I compiled OpenSSL with a backdoor that spits out private keys. And this breaks the protected digital talking book standard, which is basically just key escrow.
Wow. Rob, you had a question.
CJ, are you referring to the Daisy players?
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I used to work in the field. Those things are actually pretty cool, but I respect what you've done.
Yeah. Also, I will not go public with this because if I did, the storm that would happen would be ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I will not release the keys. If someone else decides they want to try that, first off, they have to have access to the NLS, and second off, they have to spend like $300-$400 on a player.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and you don't have to go public with particulars, but the theory to get people to think in those methods, and also to design systems that are better, I think that's an invaluable service you could perform.
The reason why I won't go public with it is because it would be near impossible for them to revoke the keys and mm-hmm. then redo everything, because they would have to mm-hmm. recall every single talking book player. And the logistics would just be insane.
Yeah, no, that's very responsible of you. And the scary thing is that there are many people out there who are not nearly as responsible that would cause harm. And people designing these systems should keep that in mind.
Yeah, and also this is like 10, 15 years old tech for the Daisy Protected Digital Talking Book standard.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So also it doesn't help that the audio is encoded in a format that's in patent hell right now.
Uh-huh.
AMRWB Plus is the codec.
Wow.
There's not really that much that can actually play it, especially in software.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're familiar with things like that. It's always good when you can figure it out, though. Alex, did you have any question for CJ?
No, I think, it's interesting that he's taking the responsible route and disclosing this to the company and giving them ample amount of time, some types of companies don't take kindly to this type of thing, and others, may offer him some form of bounty as well. So that's certainly something you would want to look into, and don't hesitate to be in touch with us if you need some additional guidance.
CJ, thank you very much for your call, and thanks for being a good hacker.
Yep, no problem.
All right, we'll talk to you again soon.
Talk to you soon.
Take care.
Bye.
And that was one of our listeners, CJ, from Massachusetts, from a room with no windows, or I'm not really sure. But the important thing is that he's got a good sense of values, and that's what I like to see in the hacker community. Okay, we're going to be on in a couple more minutes. 802-321-HACK. I didn't have to give the phone number out, did I? It's ringing off the
hook.
You should
give it out anyway, though.
802-321-HACK, 4225. And right now, if you call it, it'll ring, even though it's busy, and you'll get a voicemail message. So just hang up and try again if we take another call.
But after this, maybe you can get in.
Yeah, let's see who we have. Good evening. You're on overtime. Who is this?
Hey, guys. Alan calling from Cranford, New Jersey.
Great. I imagine the weather in New Jersey is pretty crazy right now.
Yeah, it's looking pretty good. It's about 4 or 5 inches right now. It's supposed to really start coming down in the next few hours, though.
See, I like that you said I like that you said really good, not really bad, because I think it is really good to have snow in December.
Yeah.
Changes up the routine.
It's the first storm of the year. It's like, I don't know. I was a teacher for a long time, so like a snow day is like a big deal happening.
Uh-huh. But now you don't get snow days anymore because everybody can learn from home, you know? All this virtual environment.
I'm hearing that it's kind of like a charitable thing. Some districts are giving the day off tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Those are good districts.
Yeah.
Alex?
So it's a nice thing to do.
Go ahead, Alex.
Yeah. On that take point, you know, my son is in school in public school in Manhattan, and they have issued it, the Department of Education has issued a snow day for tomorrow, but there's a lot of disappointed kids because, it's all remote. Well, most of them have remote learning the following day anyhow, but the principal of our school has given us the option of having the kids do the remote learning or not, because some parents, you know, see a snow day as something that's beneficial to a kid, part of growing up. And I thought that was pretty cool that she gave the option, that the principal actually gave the option of attending school or not tomorrow.
Caller, did you have something you wanted to ask us?
Yeah. Hey, it's like one nice thing that you know that they could do. Yeah, I actually, you know, I was listening to the show on the radio, you know, just now. You guys were talking about the Solar Winds story, and I just wanted to bring this into the conversation because I feel like it didn't get in there, but you guys know more about this stuff than me. But I was listening to a talk about a year ago, 6 months ago, and it was a group called the Center for Strategic and International Studies. They're like a think tank that's like in D.C. I don't know much about them. Maybe you guys know more, but, you know, they have like these discussion panels, and one of them is about security and like, you know, technology and security. And the entire panel was about supply chain in like virus injections where, you know, you get like – some group that basically tries to do exactly what happened with this case, and it's hidden because it's in like a piece of code that some contractor used, you know, to put together a piece of whatever they're using. They might not even know it's in there. But I just wanted to mention that idea because they had a whole panel about it for a couple hours, and I feel like I didn't hear that come up when you guys were discussing it, but maybe I missed it because I'm not technical enough to follow the conversation here.
Yeah, sure. You know, you mentioned CSIS. They're actually part of Johns Hopkins University in Baltimore, and they have some absolutely excellent panels and some really great researchers, as well as just strategic thinkers when it comes to things like you had mentioned, the supply chain attacks. I have no doubt that their panel was very, very interesting, and this certainly was, you know, an example of a supply chain attack, and I think we tried to hint at that by describing it as, you know, somebody who's essentially on a bus, right? That's got access to the internal compound, right? So this is part of it. This is part of the infrastructure that a lot of major companies and minor companies all around the world, not just the United States, use to manage a dispersed network infrastructure. And, you know, almost everybody, you know, who's anybody will use SolarWinds in some form or another. And so now it's, you know, triage time, right? Because if these entities know that there was a potential route for being compromised through something like a supply chain attack, as you mentioned, which this certainly can be classified as. Now they have to figure out, well, did the attackers break out anywhere? Do they have they established any sort of other persistent access to our networks? And if so, how are we going to root them out of our networks? Are we going to have to tear it down? Are we going to have to rebuild it entirely? So, yeah, it becomes a very, very big problem. And supply chain attacks are certainly not going to go away. I think in the election component, or rather in the election context, this has been something that's been talked about for quite a while, because a lot of the election electronic components that go into digital voting, things like that, they're all made overseas. And so how do you monitor and regulate these third parties that are all part of that supply chain? It's a very, very big problem. Has any great solutions for it yet. But, yeah, you bring up, I think, an excellent point, caller. It's some scary stuff for sure.
Yeah, when you have these popular services, it just becomes something that, like Alex insinuated, everybody who's anybody is using it, because these networks are so similar in a lot of their complexities that you would need a dashboard like what this provider offers. And okay, so they're best in class, and our teams inside engineering and operations aren't going to build or engineer it. And in even what we said, I guess they won't even go so far as change the password in some cases. They just need to fix a gap in the internal knowledge as they're designing what is, as we pointed out, rightly very complex, often very complex and disparate, both things requiring something to keep a handle on a huge system, global systems. But I'm not sure I have an answer in there either.
Caller, anything else that you wanted to tell us?
Yeah, no, that was good. I'm glad to hear you guys talk more about it. Just to, you know, hear it that way. It sounds like a totally impossible problem to solve, and I'm sure we'll figure it out though. So it'll be interesting to see. But yeah, thanks for letting me keep that conversation going. And
thanks for bringing it up.
Great show.
And thanks for listening.
Great show, and I'm happy to keep watching you online now. So thanks.
All right, you take care.
So yeah, it's about thinking really carefully with.
He said he's watching us. Can't see us, can he? Are we hacked? Did he hack us?
Maybe he can see us.
Wow. Anybody watching the YouTube feed?
I think it's just fine. I put a piece of tape over everything, so we're just fine. We're
well,
secure.
What? I ripped the camera out.
Oh, is that what you were doing with the
drill?
What
do you think that was all? Yeah, that's all that noise was.
Okay, that's an upgrade.
But I think it is.
A lot of this is it depends on how much resource you're willing to put into procurement. Mm-hmm. And when you're building a system with off-the-shelf products and services, you need to think these things through. And this would be, I think, a best-in-class off-the-shelf service that, you know, fit the bill, but had a high cost in failing, especially with lateral moves. Consider this hack is probably old news. Everything that you could have seen or gleaned as a consequence of it, though, those lateral and other effects, that's where people are probably looking right now. Right, Alex?
By the way, we're going to try to take one more phone call. 802-321-4225, 802-321-HACK. And that's going to be the last phone call. And that's if we get another phone call. 802-321-HACK. Yes, go ahead, Alex.
Oh, I was just going to say, yeah, I think you're absolutely right there, Kyle. So, yeah, this one's going to be tricky, but like the caller suggested too, you know, this is a very, very difficult problem to solve. But it's also, you know, it's an issue of third-party risk, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, and how much risk are you taking on board from third parties that have access to your networks or develop network management software like this, right? I mean, this is a type of risk that I think people have been undervaluing for a long time. So now, you know, CISOs and GRC teams or governance risk compliance teams are going to have to reevaluate all of the network monitoring and any kind of software that's going to have administrative rights within their networks. And any company that's very similar to SolarWinds that develops this type of software that could be used or and abused is going to have to really redouble their efforts to ensure that their source code is not compromised, signed, and sent out to all of their customers.
Mm-hmm.
This is certainly also not the first time that we've seen compromises like this happen. This also happened, I don't have the details in front of me, but I want to say it was in Ukraine or it might have been Czech Republic. It was some place in Eastern Europe that I think had to do with accounting software, where a specialized form of accounting software was compromised and dispersed to the client base through the updating process. And I think we might have even talked about this, you know, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, perhaps. But this sort of attack vector is not entirely new. It's very innovative. And to compromise a company like SolarWinds, this is a massive, massive coup, very different from some, you know, lesser used accounting software firm. But maybe that was the proving ground several years ago for the threat actors and showing that as a proof of concept, the attack could be accomplished.
Well, there's a major motion picture here, I think. It's a fascinating story and something that we'll be hearing about for years to come and seeing the effects of. I just want to say we're going to be on another 2 minutes. If somebody calls us in those 2 minutes, we'll take the call. If not, we will sign off with two good calls. I'm happy with that. Again, the phone number, 802-321-4225. Now, that's a Vermont area code. We're not actually in Vermont. We just thought that was a cool number to get. It's a Google Voice number. It forwards to a landline, and the landline has one phone line attached to it. It does not have call waiting. So if you called it again, you would get a busy signal. However, Google Voice decided nobody wants to hear a busy signal, so they insist on going to a voicemail message that we don't want. So if you call when someone else is on the phone, that's what you'll get. And you'll hear the anger in our voices. 802-321-4225. We could lose power at any moment, Kyle. I realize. I hear the wind howling outside. And
it's very Vermont-like out, I would imagine.
It is. It is. I like this. I could live like this for the entire winter. Alex, you lived in Vermont at one point. I imagine this is bringing back some memories.
Yeah, certainly does. I mean, Vermont was like this, you know, pretty much almost every other day, right? You'd have a massive snowstorm. And I used to live – I lived in Vermont when I was in law school. I used to live in Montpelier, which is smack in the middle of the state. The law school was about 35 miles south. So we'd have these massive snowstorms, and I remember thinking, you know, the tragic irony of all of this was that I was driving a old 1992 Geo Prism, which, you know, wasn't 1992 back when I was in law school, but I would often get on the interstate and drive this small car with sandbags in the back to weigh it down, before the interstate was plowed. And so it was an incredibly dangerous 35-mile journey on unplowed interstate to get to my wills, trusts, and estates class at 8:30 in the morning. And I always thought it would have been, you know, terribly tragic and ironic if I had died on the way to my wills, trusts, and estates class. So that was a sort of a reminder for me to slow down on the interstate.
Yes, only to be topped by you actually writing or signing your will while you're driving.
I think we all have stories of incredibly dangerous things that we used to do that we somehow lived through. I remember I had a 66 Impala that had bald tires all around. In fact, I got two flats at the same time, which was unheard of. I remember also the same route, I would ride my bike in the middle of the night with no lights or anything, and somehow I would make that. That was before people wore helmets. So, yeah, there's a lot of finger-crossing, and we're fortunate that we get through this. But that doesn't mean that you listeners should be out there taking unnecessary risks. It's blizzarding outside. It's very cold. There's a pandemic. Although I have to say, you know, tomorrow or the next day, sleigh riding. I mean, it seems like the perfect opportunity. Socially distant, you're bundled up, you wear a mask, you're not near other people, you're outside. Seems like a healthy thing to do, and if I'm wrong, of course, Dr. Fauci will tell me. But enjoy the weather. Enjoy the winter. Enjoy the uniqueness of it all, because these are times that we will remember for the rest of our lives. Okay, I don't think we're getting another phone call, so let's sign off for tonight. We'll see you guys next week, eh?
So long.
Good night.
Stay dry. Stay healthy. Good night.